You're listening to Soul Growth with me, Jade Stoner. Here we go beyond performance and surface level success and return to your true source of power, you. When you come home to yourself, when you allow your soul to lead, you access a depth of peace, safety and self-trust that success alone was never meant to fulfill, without losing your edge, ambition or vision. You get to live a life that feels as eternally rich as it looks outwardly impressive, and it begins within you. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Soul Growth, which is part two of a two-part episode all about the spiritual laws of the universe. If you don't already know me, I'm your host, Jade Stoner, and thank you for tuning in. So part one is episode 26, and if you haven't listened to it yet, it's all good. While the two episodes do go together, it doesn't matter which order you listen to them in, just as long as you listen to them both, because together they're going to give you the full story. So here's a quick recap of the laws that I shared with you in part one. Number one is the law of oneness, which is the law that states that everything, everyone, is connected. And after I recorded the episode, I thought of another way of sharing this with you, and that's like, collectively, we're like a hive mind, and there's been lots of experimentations done about this stuff that shows we're all connected. There is a book that's been written, something about the power of eight, and how when eight or more people come together, all focused on the same outcome, like magic happens. So that's the law of oneness. Number two is the law of vibration, which explains how everything, including you and I, vibrate at a certain frequency. Number three is the law of action, which shares the importance of taking inspired action in your life and not just sitting on your ass and doing nothing. Number four is the law of correspondence, which helps us to understand the importance of doing the inner game work, because the world outside of us is a reflection of what's going on inside of us, or more specifically, what we experience in our lives, the results that we get, how things are, is a reflection of what's going on inside of us, mostly from an unconscious level. Number five is the law of cause and effect, which most people understand as karma. And number six, the most popular law, most people know this one, it's the law of attraction. And that is, in its very basic state, that like attracts like. And you don't get what you want in life, you get what you're a vibrational match for. So now let's get into the other laws. So number seven is the law of compensation. So this is kind of similar to the law of cause and effect, so the one about karma. But this one is specifically about your contribution and the value that you put out into the world. So in your career, in business, and your other physical efforts, and it's very closely connected to your money. So this is a really key law to understand if you run a business in some capacity, as you most likely do, or you will, or you're just starting to build a business, or even if you've been in business for a while and you're launching something new. Because during these times of new beginnings, it can feel like an uphill battle. You know, you're planting the seeds, you're doing the things, you're putting the content out, you're putting the offers out there, and you're getting little to no return. And you're very likely going to want to give up at those points. You know, I've shared with you a few times my experience with this kind of thinking, and your mind can start spinning you all your limiting stories and basically telling you that whatever it is that you're doing isn't enough. It's not going to work. You should just go and do anything else. And if you're not mindful, it can be very easy to get caught up and lost in this noise in your head. So the law of compensation reminds you that it will work, that what you put out will come back to you. It doesn't mean that it's going to come back to you in the time frame that your mind thinks that it should, and probably not in the ways that you think it will, but it will always come back to you. It's literally a universal law. It's the law of compensation. So you will always be rewarded. Things will always come back to you in some way, shape or form. And your job is to firstly pay attention to the things coming back. And it's also to trust the process. And it's about holding the faith that you will be financially rewarded and taken care of. You know, abundance is your birthright, and it's okay for you to want to be paid and compensated for what you do and what you put out into the world. It's really funny that often in business that people sometimes have a hard time with this. Nobody, or most people, wouldn't go and take a job and accept not being paid for it. They just wouldn't do it. Yet in business, somehow this kind of thinking can, not always, but it can get twisted up. This is something that I see so many people struggle with, and they play small because their unconscious beliefs and programming is something along the lines of, it's not okay for me to earn a lot of money. It's not spiritual for me to earn a lot of money. People that earn a lot of money are, insert negative belief. And these are all the things that we have to work on. Money is a tool, and it's needed for you to create the life that you dream of. And you already know that I'm very passionate about financial education. That's why I've created a couple of episodes on the topic of money. And there's so much more that I want to share with you, and I will. And what I want you to take from this law of compensation is the reminder and the knowing that you deserve to be compensated for your work and your gifts. You know, you're not running a charity. Living isn't free. You can't pay your bills on love and light. So it is safe for you to earn and be rewarded. And it's okay for you to pay and to compensate those that you receive knowledge and growth from. Again, what you put out will come back to you. That is the law. So number 8 is the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. Quite a mouthful. So this law is the understanding that energy isn't created or destroyed. It just changes forms. We are always working with energy. We're always transmuting energy in our life, and we are creating everything that we experience in our life, whether we want it or we don't want it. I mentioned the word subconscious a while ago, and I'm bringing it back up again here because this is the point that most of the creation is done from. You've heard me share with you that your subconscious programming is responsible for 95% of the ways that you show up in life, how you do life. So this is stuff that you are very likely not consciously aware of. This is the stuff that's buried deep down in your psyche and has come about from years and years of programming. So when you hear me share or anybody else share, what you're experiencing in your life is a reflection of you. You're creating the things that you want and you don't want. Depending on where you're at on your personal development journey, that can be quite activating. It can be quite triggering. And your job is to look beyond the triggering and dig beneath and see what's really going on. Because this law of perpetual transmutation of energy reminds you of your personal power and that you have the power to transmute and alchemize anything. I often say this, you're not a victim. What you experience in your life is something that you have power over. If it's true that we unconsciously and consciously create what we don't want, then that means that we can consciously and unconsciously create what we do want. We have that power. And that's something that you need to keep coming back to again and again. It's not something that you hear once and something clicks in your brain and you're like, oh yeah, I get it now. I've shared with you many times that this healing work, this journey, it happens in layers, that it takes time. It's often not just a one and done. So keep coming back to this and being curious about it. When you remember that you have the power to transmute and alchemize anything, you remember that you can transmute low vibe energy into high vibe energy. You can turn a bad mood into a good mood. You can also turn a good mood into a bad mood, but that's not what we're here for. We are about transmuting and alchemizing that lower vibrational stuff and turning it into something positive. The world we live in is set up to make us focus on relying and needing things outside of ourselves to feel happy and fulfilled and to live the life that you dream of. But the truth is that the power is inside of us. Everything starts with you. So if you're feeling crappy emotionally, you have the power to change that inside of yourself. It's not reliant on you getting whatever it is that you think will fix you or change how you're feeling. And sometimes we don't get what we think we need because we're being taught to come back to ourselves, to stop giving our power away and putting so much emphasis on the things outside of ourselves, like needing the car or needing to earn a certain amount of money. Again, we're being reminded that that power to feel good, to feel worthy, to feel whatever it is that you want to feel, that power is within us and not contingent on us getting whatever it is that we think we want or need. Because the truth is, we don't need a perfect body to feel good about ourselves now or to love ourselves. We don't need millions in our bank accounts to prove ourselves or others that we're worthy. We're worthy just because. And also, if this were true, then there wouldn't be so many celebrities and wealthy people struggling with their self-worth. Everything you need is inside of you now, and it's about pulling back the conditioning, the layers, all of the bullshit that has had us believing otherwise. So this is also the law that supports you in manifesting your desires from the spiritual form to the physical. It helps you to real life your desires, because everything that we desire to have in our lives, everything that you desire to have in your life, already exists. It exists in a spiritual, invisible, energetic form only. So when we meditate, when we have the whispers inside of us that are telling us to go for more in our lives, and then there's more available, that's the voice of your soul. That part of you is connected to the source where everything exists, the possibility of everything exists. And then you transmute that from being this energetic form into a physical form through your thoughts and your energy and your intention. That's how you manifest. You take something from being invisible to being visible in your life. So if you've heard the saying that everything already exists, that's where it comes from. This is the truth according to quantum law. It's all here. It all already exists. So the universe has done its part. The rest is on us. And that is in our mind and our energy, which frequency we're vibrating at, what you're available for, the work that you do, and all of the things. This is why anything that you think of is possible for you. It already exists. We are then using the power of our mind and our intention and all of the things to bring those things into reality. Your soul desires are possible, and there's a part of you that is connected to this truth 24/7. That's why these whispers inside of you calling you to your desires are there, and even though you might forget about them for a period of time, they keep coming back. The things that are meant for you keep coming back. So this journey is about letting go of everything that is telling you that you can't have it. Alchemizing that bullshit. Transmuting that bullshit. These illusions. You have the power. Number 9 is the law of relativity. So this is the law that states every soul will face challenges during their human lifetime. It doesn't matter how you were raised, how much money you have, how great your life is, challenges are inevitable. And what's really interesting, and this has been coming up a lot in my conversations recently, is people that start out on this journey of creating their dream lives, manifesting, personal development, personal growth, whatever you want to call it, and they start doing all of this stuff. You know, they're meditating, they're reading the books, they're protecting their energy, they're cleansing their energy. You know, they're doing all of the things. And then something crap pops up in their life. And suddenly everything that they've been doing, all of this stuff they know to be true, is out of the window. And they're like, oh my God, this isn't working. All of this personal development stuff, all of this living your best life, it's all a load of bullshit. It's not available for me. And in come all of the bullshit stories, right? But challenges are a part of life. Again, no matter where you're at, how woke you are, how spiritual you are, how much work you've done, the challenges are still going to come. They don't have to be really bad challenges. What first triggered this thought for me was seeing somebody that had said something along the lines of, you know, I've been doing all of this stuff, and then yesterday I lost my keys and I locked myself out, and why is all of this stuff happening? And I'm like, wow, they're really minor things in the grand scheme of life. But look how you let those things have you start questioning everything that you know to be true and all of the work that you've done. It's not about what happens to you in life. It's about how you deal with it. The challenges are there, just like everything else in this world, for a reason. Nothing is random. So again, it's not about what happens to you in your life. It's about what you choose to do with it, which lens that you choose to look at it through. So let's say, for example, that your relationship ends. You can choose to look at that situation through the lens of a victim and tell yourself things like, maybe I'm not meant to have the relationship of my dreams, or the old classic, I knew it was too good to be true. And then you start asking God, why? Oh, why is this happening to me? Why am I being punished? And you plead and you beg and you bargain with the universe for this love to come back. Or you can choose to look at this same situation through a different lens, one that's more empowering, and you start to ask yourself questions like, how could this be the best thing that has ever happened to me? If I truly believe that everything happens for a reason and is happening for my highest good, what could that mean for this relationship ending? If God's cut me off from this relationship, this situation, then there must be something better in store for me. So notice how the victim lens makes you feel contracted and tight. And the other lens, the one where you're looking at through a lens of, how could this be the best thing that ever happened to me? That opens you up. It makes you feel more expanded. And this goes for any situation in life, right? And it's not always easy. Lord knows I've battled with feeling like a victim many times. But ultimately, it's all about soul growth. Challenges are opportunities for growth and healing. You know, these challenges don't come along to take you down and out. And it's not because God is punishing you or because life's a bitch. It's so that you can evolve. And it's so that as a collective, we evolve. The challenges, when dealt with in an empowering way, can help us become more grounded and resilient emotionally, spiritually, and energetically. And it's about helping you to become the person who can withstand all of the good things that you're manifesting. Because it's not just about you being able to receive the things that you want in your life. It's about you being able to hold the good stuff too. And to be able to hold the good, you have to learn to stand and walk with the challenging stuff too. That's also how you expand. It's not just through the positive stuff that you expand and things always working out for you. You also expand through the shadow of stuff, the other side of stuff, right? The dark and the light are needed. So stop trying to fight it. It's all relative. That's the law of relativity. My belief is that before your soul incarnates, that it actually chooses all of the experiences that it has in this lifetime, because it's choosing to heal and grow from wounds from past life, things that it didn't master in past lives and it wants to in this lifetime. And also so that it can have certain experiences to grow and expand. I've been on this journey a long, long time. And I used to wonder, like, why the hell my soul would choose such a complex cocktail of experiences? Because most people get like one or two big experiences in their lifetime. Like there's certain things, there's certain awakenings that you can go for in life. They can be around money, they can be around relationships, can be around your health. And then there's nuances within each of those things. And I have been in more than one of those categories. And when I wasn't as spiritually, energetically and emotionally strong as I am today, it used to have me wondering, like, what the fuck? Like, where can I write a letter to my soul and be like, listen, bitch, we're not signing up for this shit in my next life. But here we are. And I understand that everything that I've been through, it makes me who I am today. In the best place of my life that I've ever been inside of myself internally. And that's where it really counts, because that's where it all starts from. And I know that it only gets to get better and better. And I couldn't have become this version of me without the dark. And that leads me on to the next law, which is number 10, the law of polarity. So this law teaches us that we live in a world of duality and opposites, and you can't have one without the other. Like I just shared, you need both the dark and the light to elevate. And if you only knew the light, if you only had like good experiences in life, then how would you be able to cope with the inevitable endings that come with life? Like, let's just take a universal, collective, inevitable ending, death. It is a part of life. It's not comfortable. We don't like it. We don't want it. But it is a part of life. And if you only knew light, when these inevitable endings happen in your life, when people that you love and care about die, you wouldn't know how to deal with it, because you only knew light. You wouldn't know happiness if you didn't experience sadness. You wouldn't know the difference. And notice that when you go through pain like losing a loved one, it humbles you and it makes you appreciate life more. And this is why we have polarity in our world. So the law of polarity shows that if there is a problem in your life, if there's a challenge, there's always a solution. You can't have one without the other. As with all of the other laws, this is here to serve you. So you get what you don't want in life so that you can get clarity on what you do want in life. When you experience something that you don't want, that's your opportunity to refine your vision and remind yourself of who the fuck you are, what you came here for, the power you have inside of you, and you get to choose again. You know, you fall down, you get back up, you learn, you grow, you pivot. So in my lowest moments, it's been abundantly clear what I don't want, because I'm in a situation that I don't want. And I know that I've experienced some of those things to wake me the fuck up. And to help me remember who the fuck I am, what I'm capable of, what I came here for, which is never the bullshit situation that I'm sitting in, and to help me refocus and get back on track. So these opposites exist so that you can strengthen your focus muscle. And when you do find yourself focusing on what's wrong and what you don't have in your life, it's your opportunity to shift your focus and to start looking at what it is that you do want, and also to look at what's right in your life. That's the gratitude piece. What do you have to be grateful for? Because it's always something, right? So a situation that you're in is never finite. It's never the end. Look at it another way. It's a beginning. So learn to shift your mind and train it to see things that way. And in that way, it will open you up. It will expand you. And you'll have a much more pleasurable experience of life, even the challenges. Remember that the law of perpetual transmutation of energy tells you that you have the power to shift how you feel and what you're focusing on. This is how it's all connected. So if you want something and you're seeing what it is that you don't want, shift. Shift your focus, shift your attention. Look at what it is that you need to heal. How do you need to see things differently? Train yourself to catch the limiting beliefs that come up and retrain your mind that what you want exists, which will in turn shift how you feel, and it will shift your focus and your vibration. And it would therefore shift the kind of person that you become and the kind of people that show up in your life and the experiences that show up in your life too. And this is why doing the inner game work matters. This is why inner success matters. So journaling is a really powerful tool that you've heard me share about before. And journaling will really help you to get clarity on how you think and your patterns and get clear on what's not working in your life so that you can look for the opposite and you can figure out what it is that you do want and where to make the shifts and what support you need to get so that you can start bringing what you want into your life. Number 11, the law of rhythm. So this is the law that reminds us that nature is seasonal and cyclical. And we are part of nature and we have our own seasons and our own rhythms. And your seasons don't mean that they necessarily match with nature's seasons. So you may remember in episode 24, I shared with you that the way our years are currently set out, so January to December, that's something that was designed in the past few centuries. And actually, March is nature's new year. This is why it's spring. You see nature coming back to life, right? And it's also why I believe many people struggle to get motivated and get going in January and February. So just notice those things about yourself, and you may experience your winter in spring. You know, whilst the world's blooming, you may feel like that's your time to go inside of yourself and hibernate and get shit done. There is no right or wrong. It's about knowing yourself. It's about knowing how you operate so that you can set yourself up for success and so that you stop beating yourself up because you're not full of life in January or whenever it is. Like, you have your own seasons. And whatever season you're in, whether you deem that to be a positive season or a negative season, just remember that it doesn't last forever. Just like nature seasons don't last forever. They go in rhythms. We go and grow in rhythms. And this is why a lot of people work with moons. They work with the cycles of the moon. It's the same thing, right? The moon works with the law of rhythm. And I know lots of women that work with their cycles. I do take note of when the start of my cycle is, and I'm more gentle with myself. I may not put as much into my day as when I do at other times of month, because I notice that my energy levels are lower, but I don't stringently work with them. I think it was in my video series that I did over the summer that I actually shared this. I know that you don't physically have cycles, but I 100% believe that you do have cycles. Like, I have noticed men, when I've been in relationships, there are certain times of the month that you lot just change. And it's around the same time every month. So I am convinced that men do have cycles. It doesn't physically come out, but you have them. Again, take note, get to know yourself. It's my number one rule in business. Know yourself, because it's always you versus you. And when you know yourself, when you know how you're set up, when you know that there are certain times of the month that it takes you a bit longer to wake up in the mornings, or you need more rest, or you're not going to get as much done, you can set yourself up for success. So learn to appreciate the cycles, men and women, and stop trying to force things to come together. You know, as much as you might feel a need for control, the truth is you're not actually in control. It's an illusion. And if you want to overcome your need for control, the way to do that is to look beneath the need for your control and ask yourself, what is this really about? Journal on it. What is it really about? What's the truth about my need to control? Where does it come from? Why do I feel I need it? What do I feel like it's going to give me? When you start digging deep like that, that's when you can start to make the shifts and you can start to let go and surrender, because those things are so needed in this journey. The only thing in control is God, the universe. You, me, we are the co-creators. So your job is to do the inner and the outer work, to cultivate the patience and the trust, and to not give up and abandon yourself and your desires every time things aren't happening in your time frame, just remember that the law of rhythm is governing, as are all the other laws, and everything happens in its own time. What is meant for you will come to you when it's ready and when it's time, not before. So to wrap up the law of rhythm, I want to remind you to learn to prioritize rest and rejuvenation. Such a revolutionary idea in 2023, when there is this culture of hustle and go, 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 and do, 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 and people wearing, taking action and being busy like a badge of honor. It's really not. Rest and rejuvenation is part of the process. It's a part of self-love, because rest and making sure that you have the space and the capacity to receive the things you desire to have in your life are just as important as every other action step, every other part of the sequence, from taking your desires from being in the invisible spiritual realm and bringing them down into the physical 3D realm. So in a world that is so focused on hustle and measures self-worth on how much people do, we're learning that that isn't the full picture. In fact, it's backwards. So prioritize your rest and rejuvenation. So last law, the law of gender. So as you already know, we live in a world of duality. So that means that everything has two sides. And this law, the law of gender, is specifically about the masculine and feminine energy, the yin and the yang, the dark and the light, the sun and the moon. Both are required. So masculine and feminine, both of these things are required. And our work, our job, is to learn to find the balance between the two energies, regardless of your gender. So masculine and feminine energy isn't about if you're a man or a woman. Whether you're a man or a woman, you have both this masculine and feminine energy inside of you. And the rule, if you like, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean, is that women typically have 70 to 80% of feminine energy, the rest masculine, and men have 70 to 80% of masculine energy and the rest feminine. So our job is to learn to use both of them. When you see women that are constantly go, 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 they're predominantly in their masculine energy. And that's why a masculine man would find a female in that energy unattractive. They would repel them, because masculine and masculine doesn't work together. It creates friction. It's like two balls bucking heads. And that's part of the reason why in relationships there can be a lot of tension when both male and female are behaving, acting, doing life from their masculine energy. Then we see there are a lot of males in the world that operate predominantly from their feminine energy, and a woman in her healthy feminine energy, again, that's going to turn her off. It's going to repel her, because a woman in her feminine energy wants to be in a relationship with a man in his healthy masculine energy. This isn't about the toxic side of things. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about a healthy male in his masculine energy and a healthy female in her feminine energy. When you put those two together, they attract. It's like batteries, right? It's like the positive and the negative. They attract together. If you try and put two positive batteries together or two negative batteries together, they repel. Just trying to rely on one energy will have you feeling out of whack. So all hustle and no rest is the predominantly masculine energy, and all flow and la-di-da and nothing getting done, that's like the feminine energy. So the masculine is more about the physical world and the feminine is more about the spiritual. So you can see that you need both, or you're going to have these unfulfilled manifestations. So this one law could be the aha that you need as to why your manifestations aren't working. If you have connected with the spiritual side of yourself, this feminine side of yourself, and you've connected with these desires that exist in this spiritual, invisible realm, you then need to take the action. I've shared with you in a different episode how the action is the bridge between the spiritual and the physical. You need to take this inspired action to almost pull, for those of you that are visual learners, imagine like taking the action to pull the desire that you want in your life from the invisible and pulling it down into the physical, into the world that we live in. That's why the masculine and the feminine is needed. If you're just meditating, if you're just visualizing and you are focused on your desires, but you're not taking the action, your desires can't come to life. And if you're just taking action blindly for the sake of taking action without considering what it is that you truly want, that's also going to end up a shit show. It's not what we want, right? So we need the masculine and the feminine. Feminine is about connecting with the soul. The masculine is about taking the inspired action. It's like walking on a tightrope. You need both to balance. And it's a back and forth. And it's about learning to listen to yourself. You'll know when you need to be in one energy and when you need to be in another. It's then just overcoming your mind, your ego mind, that is telling you when you're resting, when you're in that more feminine energy, that you should be doing something else. You should be doing, right? So another way to put it into context is that the masculine is about giving. The masculine is about providing. And the feminine is about receiving. Again, you can't have one without the other. It doesn't work. So think about your breath, for example. When you're inhaling, you're receiving. When you're exhaling, you're giving, you're providing. Try holding your breath for the next 5 minutes. It's going to be super uncomfortable. And if you hold it for longer than that, maybe if you just hold it for those 5 minutes, I don't know, you're going to pass out. Loss of breath for too long equals loss of life. We need both. To live a fulfilled life, you must balance both this masculine and this feminine energy, both in yourself and your romantic relationships. And there is a time for both of these energies. And just like the law of rhythm, the goal here is to learn to appreciate the cycles, learn to listen to your body and know when to put the work in, masculine, and when to chill the fuck out, feminine. Most people, they're out of whack because they're stuck in one or the other. And this contributes to why life isn't working for them and why their dreams aren't manifesting and why you may just be exhausted all the time. So again, get to know yourself. Get to understand and be aware of where you're operating at and what energy that you're using to get stuff done. And are you too much in your masculine energy, whether you're male or female, or too much in your feminine energy, whether you're male or female? You need both. So that is a whistle stop tour of the 12 spiritual laws of the universe. There were 6 in episode 26, that was part 1, and there's 6 in this episode, which is episode 27. And now you understand that there is more to life than the law of attraction. And only living your life with the law of attraction, it's like trying to create a song with only one note. You wouldn't get the full experience and impact of the song, and it'd be boring and dull. If the law of attraction were the only law, what you want would manifest instantly, which wouldn't be great for you when you're having a shit moment, or a couple of days, or even weeks at the time. And if you always got what you wanted, you'd be bored. You'd never learn or elevate. And we all would have ended up back in relationships with our toxic douche exes, some of you more than once. So the universe knows what it's doing. Trust it. That's your work. Learn to trust, learn to surrender, learn to work with the flows and the rhythms of life. Remember that there are two sides to everything, like the dark and the light, the up and the down, the highs and the lows. And to manifest all of your desires, the key is to put all of these laws into action. Like, this isn't a pick and mix, right? So set your intentions, take your inspired action, and keep the faith, and you're going to create real life magic. So these laws are your, and I encourage you to keep coming back to them. Keep coming back to these episodes. And as I shared with you in the last episode, one of the ways your mind learns is through repetition. So keep coming back to this stuff. Let it seep in and become a part of your thinking and your mind and how you show up and how you do life. So that's all for this episode of Soul Growth. It has been a pleasure to be here with you, and I will see you in the next episode. Big love. Mwah. Thank you for joining me on Soul Growth. There's something in this episode that was meant for you to hear. Whatever it activated within you, trust it, act on it. And remember, it's all soul growth.